Okay, welcome back. This is an hour that I have long anticipated, and it has been 7 long years that I have and many others have been anticipating the chance to sit back and listen to and talk to the world's certainly most famous political prisoner, Ernst Zundel. Ernst was kidnapped from his home where he and his wife lived in Tennessee. Most of you know the story. Illegally deported to Canada, where he spent close to 2 years in solitary confinement, and then deported to Germany, where he spent 5 more years in prison, finally being released on March 1st of this year. I don't know how he was able to put up with it. It is mind-boggling. His crime? Researching and studying history. Sound silly? If you don't know the story, stay with us and we'll find out. My friend, are you there?
Yes, I am.
It is a singular pleasure to hear your voice. Thank you for being here.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Ernst, during the 2 years of solitary or thereabouts in Canada, you did not have access, I don't imagine, to what they call the media now. Did you have access to the so-called media during the 5 years of imprisonment in Germany?
Yes, I did. I must say that things in German prison were far better than they were in U.S. or in Canadian custody.
Mm-hmm.
There in Germany, I could get even CNN and the BBC. I had
wow.
a television,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to keep up with the news this way.
Sounds too civilized. I'm glad to hear it.
Actually, no. I must say, naturally, prisons are not nice places, Jeff.
No.
But the treatment I got in German prison, once I went through that grotesque trial,
yeah,
and was convicted, basically on the same documents that the Canadian Supreme Court freed me on in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the same documents, the same publications,
mm-hmm.
the same historians that I quoted in my court case that gave me freedom ultimately in Canada,
mm-hmm.
gave me 5 years in prison in Germany, where truth was no defense.
In fact, truth is not only no defense in Germany, truth can result in an attorney trying to present it in court in going to prison herself.
Absolutely.
Your valiant
she
attorney?
She was not the only one.
No. Sylvia Stoltz, one of Ernst Zundel's defense attorneys, is in prison as we speak for simply trying to introduce evidence in her client's behalf. That is what modern Germany has sunken to.
Now, Jeff, it's important that you and your listeners realize that Sylvia is the one who presented most of my defense documents
mm-hmm.
on 9/11. Most people don't know that. I didn't realize that this never was understood on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
10 or 12 of the charges were directly or indirectly related to my publications on 9/11.
Nobody knows this, Ernst. You're right. Nobody knows this.
I'm telling you this. This is what I mean. Everybody concentrates on the other taboo subject.
Yeah.
But the real crux of the matter was that I had tried to attempt to open that can of worms in a neutral German, which I thought was a neutral German court,
uh-huh.
to examine what really happened in
9/11. Unbelievable. That's
and
incredible.
That is what broke. That's what broke my back.
Unbelievable. This is a shock. I thought I knew much about what had happened to you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most people know about the other topic that I'm not allowed to even mention without running possibly the risk of being rearrested because I'm still out for 3 years on probation.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not going to talk about any other topics.
But what I'm saying is Americans did not realize it. The American press never picked that up.
Hmm.
That here was a German living in America that had taken a kind of keen interest
mm-hmm.
in what led up to and took place during 9/11. And it is my newsletters and my publications on that
mm-hmm.
that actually, I think, is the reason for Sylvia's imprisonment.
Amazing.
Because she presented the evidence, and I mean really well-prepared evidence that now in America is public knowledge due to the shows like yours, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about information that I published as one of the first writers in America. Yes. My first item that I published about 9/11 was on the 23rd of September 2001.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you're way ahead of the game. That's what you get for being a true visionary and an amazing journalist. And it is all about journalism. That is called presenting data.
Being called Zündel. Zündel is the root word in the German language, which deals with sparks flying.
Uh huh.
You know, a spark plug is eine Zündkerze in German.
Mm-hmm.
And the ignition of a car is called a Zündung. And a match is called a Zündholz.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that I was destined to ruffle some feathers someplace.
Wow. All right. During the last 5 years where you had at least a civilized environment in terms of staying in touch with the outside world, the food was not complete trash.
I must say, once I was convicted and safely tucked away, taken out of circulation, the exercise was to take this voice of Ernst Zündel out of circulation by silencing it.
Yes.
Once that had taken place, the treatment by uniformed German prison officials, I'm not talking about those out of uniform, I'm talking about those in uniform, the keepers, as we call them, the ones that had the big chain with the fat old 120-year-old keys around their waist, that they were absolutely correct, with very, very few exceptions, which you will find anywhere.
Wow.
And, you know, the routine in Germany was such in the prison that I could go to exercise, I could play ping pong for an hour, I could do exercise on exercise machines, have a one-hour walk in the prison yard, and work on kind of craft group.
Yes.
I was allowed paints, brushes. During my 5 years, I made thousands of little watercolors, and as many of those who were in touch with me know, I was allowed this freedom in prison, but of course nothing political. And my mail was censored for the entire 5 years.
Mm-hmm. The letters that you sent me are very much treasured, and the little watercolors as well. And I want to thank you for that.
Jeff, it was for me almost like therapy. You know, and also they allowed me to correspond in English to people like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big boon for me. A, I could keep my language skills up. And B, of course, I've been in North America and Canada and the United States for 52 years.
Right.
Including my incarceration and this stint behind bars. Mm-hmm. I count that as part of my exile, you know?
Yes.
I was exiled in my own fatherland. But to me, that was a kind of a big bonus that I could communicate in English, French, and German.
Yeah. How many people did you correspond with over that time, regularly?
Well, let me say, when I was released, I was given a huge box of 1,700 letters that were never allowed me.
Yeah, a lot of letters never made it to you.
Right. And I just picked up yesterday a truckload full of my boxes and copies of correspondence and court files and so on. A truckload full. So in those 7 years, of course, a writer of my dynamism, if I may be allowed this remark, collects a lot of thoughts on paper.
Yes.
And it was actually, as you know, I am somewhat esoterically inclined, and I believe in karma. And so to me, I could take prison much more easily than ordinary prisoners who were just criminals. I knew that I was innocent.
You were innocent. You are innocent. You always will be innocent. This was beyond an outrage. I have words really fail me when someone has 7 years of his or her life taken, or 10 years. Sometimes people don't come out of prison, as you well know. And that thought crossed my mind and the minds of all who supported you on more than a few occasions. Did you ever, Ernst, feel that you might not get out, that they might want to just keep you out of circulation permanently?
Yes, Jeff, I certainly did. It was also the fear of my wife, my very brave wife.
Yes, she is. Ingrid is incredible.
Because, you see, on the same floor that I was housed, there were six, sometimes seven, eight murderers imprisoned. People who had killed their wives and gotten into fights and drug dealers and so on. So that environment, Jeff, is, you certainly look over your shoulder every living moment of your day.
Yes. Stand by. We'll be right back in just a few minutes with Ernst Zundel. Okay, let's get right back to our conversation. A world first radio interview with Ernst Zundel, just released on March the 1st of this year after 7 long years of just horrible incarceration, horrible in the extent that this man did nothing to warrant any of it. Having been an extraordinary observer and an astute analyst of world geopolitics for decades, and holding honestly a grasp of the enormous power, as I do and as our listeners do, held by a handful of the globalist elite, during the last, let's just say, 5 years when you had access to the media, have there been any major surprises, Ernst, or have things pretty well progressed as you thought they might?
The election of President Obama surprised me. And I know that he's controversial amongst your listeners and amongst people of that mindset, but I was pleased. I know that in America, apparently, there is this big divide of people that are now down on Obama. I was pleased because it was an important interim presidency where a man of mixed race in a time when potential racial problems could have surfaced due to the financial upheaval, he was, I think, able to keep the lid on by his mere looks and by his mere rhetoric. So most people that I correspond with are very bitter about Obama, and I do not understand that. I do not understand that because, of course, I was cut off from all the nitty-gritty detail that apparently people out there know on the Internet. I'm talking in broad, sweeping brushstroke.
Yeah.
I consider that man and his looks and his policy of being able to bridge the racial divide in America a very important and positive event.
Let me make that clear. Ernst was not able to have internet access, all right?
He had none whatsoever.
Television access. So he is...
Only CNN.
Yeah, well, that's... Hardly a bonus.
So this is the slant, you see. This is how brainwashing works.
Of course.
If you are cut off from alternative news and information, you are bound to only have that information.
Well, it's what you've said, Ernst, is illogical given the vacuum you were existing in. And I understand what you're saying. And there may be some truth to that issue, as you have stated it, in any regard. However, just to give you a quick, very quick thumbnail, the man has been exposed as an inveterate and psychopathic liar. He is conducting a war in Afghanistan, which he swore he would not. He has carried on with Wall Street bankers and the Federal Reserve and all big money interests, as you would expect a dupe and a puppet to carry on. He is quite clearly being directed from an echelon of power that is not visible to the normal American. And in fact, the chief of staff of the White House, Rahm Emanuel, is the son of an Israeli terrorist. So we have some very extenuating circumstances here, which you will be able to catch up with in time. That's just a few of the issues involved. He is also, quite clearly, a Marxist in orientation. So we have a lot of conflict. I think the potential...
You mean I have a lot of catching up to do?
Yes, sir. There's a lot there.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you are shut off from information.
Well, it's almost...
I only can give you the kind of overview that I would have left after turning off my CNN.
Understand. And that's true. He is...
Jeff. Also, I had no counterbalancing information, not even the New York Times.
Well,
every once in a while, they would allow me some New York Times clippings and so on. True. Mm. But nothing of the what is called the right-wing or nationalist media was allowed me. You know, and the censorship was so strict that ordinary people cannot believe that in the 21st century, we could have censorship as total and as complete as they had on me.
Wow. Well, it's amazing you came through with your intellect intact and having been exposed to 5 years of the very subtle and
I may just add something, but your news item, when I'm listening to the commercials, you know, with commercial breaks, and they're advertising alternative medical treatment or food supplements.
Yes.
I was denied in every prison anything but chemical drugs. So, for instance, I fought for 4 years and 8 months to get a product. Well, you can beep it out if you're not allowed to broadcast it, but MSM and DMSO.
Of course.
Which I had taken for years in the United States and in Canada. It was denied me for 4 years and 8 months. And finally, I had to threaten legal action against the doctors before they allowed it to me 3.5 months before my release.
My goodness. Well,
so there's not just political repression and a political price to be paid, but I was deprived for 7 years of the medical and the supplement of my choice.
Upon which you had relied to maintain your immunological strength and health.
That's right, exactly it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well,
it, you know, Jeff, there's another thing that also needs to be said that shows, I mean, I have certainly come out of this 7 years with damage to my health, and it certainly has also influenced my thinking, as you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. You cannot be completely shut off. Every prisoner, American prisoners in Korea, for instance, were subjected to that. You came out altered in body, in spirit, and in mind, and the one that is the most dominant to survive is your spirit.
I understand, and your spirit is enormous. Stand by, Ernst. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. Talking in a world-exclusive first radio interview with freed political prisoner Ernst Zundel. All right, we're back talking with Ernst Zundel, released March 1st of this year after 7 years of hell. Imagine being health conscious and health wise and taking good care of your body and then having your supplements taken away. Ernst, on the outside right now, we face that very thing as citizens. They, of course, the big pharmaceuticals and the medical establishment are trying to take away our rights to buy supplements. It's already happened in Europe. They're trying to do it over here now. They call it Codex Alimentarius. But there are several measures in the U.S. Congress now pending and the Senate, which would take our right to buy many, if not most, all of the important supplements away from us. So I certainly relate to the fight you put up to try to maintain your health, which you have a God-given right to do. All right. Now, back to the world, if I can. And from what you saw, this is very interesting. It's like talking to a man from a different planet in a way, because all you saw was what they wanted you to see.
That's
and
right.
The reality of life as it has been transpiring was denied you. How do you see the world right now? What do you see? Just in not a terrific analysis, but just keep it simple. We have been at war with the Afghan people for 8 years. 2 to 3 million of them have died. We are, of course, in the hands of Wall Street gangsters, and the Federal Reserve, which you knew about long, long ago. Nothing has changed there except the laws that have been passed in this country in the last 4 or 5 years have been so beyond constitutionally valid. They are so unconstitutional as to defy description. It's that bad now. Were you able to glean any of that from CNN at all?
I was surprised by some of the obvious, flagrantly anti-constitutional overtones in some of the legislation that I got. And I also got the coverage of the Tea Party, the demonstrations and so on.
Yes.
But details, as you know, CNN has these news clips of 30 seconds,
yes.
45 seconds. BBC is certainly not any better. And so I am out of the loop, and I am desperately trying to catch up and to reorient myself. That's why I have not been vocal in the public. Number one, I'm still on probation. And number two, I have to really reorient myself and and study and catch up and see what is going on. But the food supplement stuff really concerns me because in Europe, for instance, any of the over-the-counter medications that are standard in the United States are very, very difficult to come by because the public is kept in the dark. Mm-hmm. Only now, after so many years of MSM and DMSO being on the market in the United States, is news coming out of mainly, again, the Internet that these two products are now becoming available for sale. You can buy them in Europe. Before that, you had to go to different countries and, of course, order them from the United States, for instance, and then customs would intercept them. My sisters had MSM intercepted and not given to them.
Well, it's not that bad here. Yet. There are so many things that you will absorb. It's almost a question of a man who has been without a drink of water for a number of days. You have to go slowly.
Jeff, to me, I have always been pro-American Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think that's the most wonderful document that was promulgated since the old Greek days. I would even say it was better than some of the old Greek documents. And so to me, to see what has happened to the American setup and to the American Republic, even before I was locked up, is such a sad thing to see.
Yes.
So such potential. When people said America was a light upon the nations, I really believe that. For instance, most people don't know that. The Germans fought a revolution of sorts in 1848 because these German revolutionaries had wanted to present an American, almost a carbon copy of the American Revolution with a Bill of Rights wrapped in one. Only one difference. They kept the king as the figurehead, the titular figurehead.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1848, the Germans were trying to ape the United States, and what we would have had, 34 German states, little tiny states and kingdoms, had already accepted and agreed that they would have this American-style constitution. And then the King of Prussia had it shut down. Jeff, if we had had this type of constitutional setup in the heart of Europe, Germany and Europe would have looked like the American setup of 1776, the time of Ben Franklin, of George Washington, and, of course, of the drafter of the American Constitution.
How very fascinating that America was held in such high regard by Europeans who had 1,000 years of history.
Absolutely.
And here's this upstart country that had produced this magnificent document called the Constitution.
Absolutely. So I have been a fan of the American, the original American setup my entire life. And this is why I left Europe when I was 18 and a half. I didn't go directly to the United States because I was a pacifist in the military sense, out of religious conviction.
Yes.
And so I went to Canada where I was not going to be drafted to carry a gun against people that I didn't know. But ultimately, my goal always was to come to the United States. By inclination and by feeling, I am an American constitutionalist.
Well, there are more and more Americans who are beginning to understand that our Constitution is not only under siege, but it is in danger of being relegated to the dustbin of history. We are that close.
Jeff, if you allow me the pun, you could say I was an early Ron Paul.
No, that makes sense. I understand that. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ron.
Minus the medical degree.
Yeah, well, true. You've birthed other kinds of things beside humans, though, so there is a parallel there. This whole issue of having been out of the loop for 5 years is, 7 years, is remarkable. You will catch up to speed. There is a lot going on. One of the things that is happening is that the changes and the attacks on the Constitution and our liberties here in the United States are coming from virtually every direction at such a pace and such a speed that the average American doesn't know which direction to turn to try to defend him or herself. It's overwhelming, the war against America being fought by people allegedly in Washington, D.C. to represent the people of this country. It is overwhelming. Stand by. We'll take a break and come right back with Ernst Zundel, whose amazing wife, Ingrid, has stood by with him for all these years as well. Back in just a couple of minutes. Okay, and let's get right back to our final segment with Ernst Zundel, his first radio interview since being released from 7 long years of hell. The world sits at a precipice, at the edge of the abyss. The war on the middle classes is not exclusively being fought against the American middle class. The middle class in England is all but destroyed. In fact, 75% of the English want to leave Great Britain, but they don't know where to go. They're thinking about Australia. The American middle class is being decimated. The exporting of jobs, which started before you were incarcerated and kidnapped from your home in Tennessee, continues. These jobs are not coming back. America has about 25 million unemployed. Most of those jobs are not coming back. America also has been injected with up to 35 million illegal aliens now. The American government has decided not to protect its border. And a country that doesn't take care to protect and enforce its borders really ceases to be a country. It's like a bacteria without a cellular membrane. So the war on America is being fought from within and without, and certainly from the halls of Congress, tragically, because the legislation there now is beyond belief, what is pending. Just amazing. And I just want to tell you that in your absence, you have been an inspiration to people all around the world, Ernst, who were worried about you, that you might not come out, hoping, many were praying for you. You were not forgotten, not at all. And certainly at my website and others, your name and your picture and your story continued to be brought to the public. And you, through your strength of character and your courage, maintained the kind of dignity and integrity that most people can only dream about.
You're very kind, Jeff, but I must say that to your listeners that the letters that I did get through the kind of iron curtain of censorship by people, listeners, for instance, of your program and of other alternative media had kept my spirits up. I knew I was getting censored information, but I could certainly read between the lines, and I knew that I was not forgotten. And my wife told me so, that I was not forgotten. Sometimes it's very difficult to bear, you know, when you watch your handcuffs and you hear the key chain turn. And this was an old prison, over 100 years old, and they had these old European keys and chain and so on with metal doors. And I couldn't see out the window. I could only see up in at the top of the ceiling. There was some kind of a skylight that I could see the clouds drift by. It was a difficult period, but I knew that there were people on the outside praying for me, helping me. And the publicity around my case in the alternate media undoubtedly helped me survive. Otherwise, had I been forgotten, my goose would have been cooked.
You may well be right. the first 2 years that Ernst was incarcerated were hideous, mostly in Canada. That was the worst.
I was so surprised.
Yeah.
Because I loved Canada. I lived there for 42 years. Mm-hmm. Canadian people, very nice, gentle people generally. And
yes.
Suddenly I was confronted by this Soviet grotesque type gulag situation. Mm-hmm. Amazing to me.
Yeah. 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 We have seen not only politically, but militarily, changes in the balance of power. We now know, through the public statements of Israeli nuclear physicist Mordechai Vanunu, who you know spent 18 years in solitary confinement for talking about the, hardly a secret, the Israeli nuclear program. By the way, he was just put back in jail again. I got a story today for speaking out about that and mentioning that thermonuclear blackmail is a fact of life. We have the European Union. We have the Greek crisis. Everywhere you look, we have crises. We have the genetic modification of food crisis. We have a political crisis in every country, basically. The financial crisis has not even begun to manifest itself to its fullest in terms of its destructive potential on the world stage. Of course, out of all of this chaos will come the New World Order. That is the plan, and as you well know, this has been planned and projected for many, many decades, if not longer.
Yeah, Jeff, I used to write to my wife and say, I can certainly sense that the struggle for the soul of America, the essence, what the old America was like, what Thomas Jefferson, for instance, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington mm-hmm. had envisioned, was not, the struggle for that kind of America was on, and the struggle for the soul of America was on, and also for Western civilization, because people should not forget that the American Revolution and the documents that came out of that revolution, by the way, only 4% of the American population were actively engaged in bringing about that revolution.
Just yes.
Only 4%.
Yes.
So there is lots of hope that the second American Revolution can certainly succeed like the first one did.
I can't even imagine where we would be without the internet. And your point is well taken. The internet
is almost like an antidote to what the heck is happening.
Yes, yes, of course.
It's almost as if God gave us the instrument with which we can defeat the devil.
So far, we have it, and we must fight to keep it. The American media, of course, is owned now by five or six corporations. That's it. Mm-hmm. So the average American who does not use the internet for attempting to understand and assess what's going on around them doesn't have a chance. They are caged animals, basically.
Yeah. Jeff, I was always the type that said it's better to light one candle than to curse darkness. And if I only make one analogy, East Germany and the Soviet Union were the most tightly controlled dictatorships, and yet they crumbled. They crumbled, and they crumbled from within.
Indeed, and that tightness is now being exerted more and more. We are in the ratcheting phase here in the United States. And
but I have faith in the goodness and the dynamism and the wherewithal of the ordinary Americans. Do not count out that element in America that made America a superpower.
And a very special culture. And when you when you take today even an average American, pull him away from the group and sit down, you'll find goodness and kindness. And then that, of course, is the case with most people the world over. It's when they ally themselves with groups and organizations and join this or that movement is when they give up their individuality and they become part of the collective, and that's dangerous. And we need to get back
to individualism. I've always said to Ingrid, my wife, I have faith in the ultimate victory due to the dynamism and the creativity and the smarts of the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, Jeff. This is not just trying to be friendly and make
kisses. I understand.
To the audience. It is. I believe in that.
Mm-hmm. I can tell. It's in your voice. It's quite clear.
Yeah.
We just have about 2 minutes left,
right.
Ernst, and I would like to leave that to you to say whatever you would like to the people listening.
Yeah. What I'd like to have is information on the policy of rendition. I've mm-hmm. been totally cut off because I was a victim of rendition.
Yes.
And I need to find out exactly what the policy is and what American lawmakers objected to the rendition. I need documentation because ultimately a lawsuit will result. I will not take this lying down that I was driven out of the country that I admired and loved by a bunch of anonymous bureaucrats. So I need help from your listeners to give me pointers about the policy of rendition and especially which American lawmakers and judges and courts oppose that policy. That would be my greatest help at this moment.
Very good. And that information is certainly on the internet, and anyone who wants to send anything that Ernst has requested can do so. Probably just through to Ingrid, yes?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Zundelsite.com.
Okay. No, org, I think it's
ORG, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, right.
All right. Your plans are to stay where you are.
My plans are to rebuild, my physical body. I came out of prison grotesquely overweight because my body had stored up all these tissues from these chemical drugs and the wrong food. But once my body is healed and that's in the process, I will naturally have to re-inform myself mm-hmm. because I have lost one-tenth of my life of information gathering. 10 years of my life have been stolen from me, so I have to catch up. As you can tell from the conversation, I am out of the loop for the time being.
Well, the conversation has been extraordinary, and I will tell you this. Your overweight situation is a true pandemic. America is fat, obese. It will be shocking to you to see...
Overfed and undernourished.
And undernourished intellectually, undernourished in every respect, and fed and drugged by a culture, a mass
and Jeff
media
also,
culture.
Jeff, you also need accolades for having stood the course, because I know that from Ingrid, she said you were under constant assault with programs being, you were kicked out of stations and servers were closed. And so you certainly fought. And, I had it easy. I was just in prison.
No,
but you were out in the trenches.
No, I'm honored to do it, and I want to thank you for getting up early, and I'll be here to do anything I can. If you want to come back on the radio, and let me know, please. And it's just great to be able to talk
Jeff,
to you.
Jeff, once I don't embarrass myself any longer and I have caught up, I'll do that.
Very good. Take care,
thank
my
you very
friend.
Much.
Okay, good night.
Thank
good night.
You. Good.
Ernst Zundel. His first radio appearance, his first radio interview conversation since getting out March 1st. Well, his faith in America and the values that we have should ring true to all of you listening. And we'll be back tomorrow night. Talk to you then.